Blog Talk Radio.
See, there's the music, fellas, but that's all we can play because then somebody gets all shook up and says, who do you think you are playing my music? And we just say, well, we're just good folks and we love to play good music. But
you want me to sing for you?
If you don't want us playing your good music, then we'll just play our own music and we'll hum, or we won't even do that. We'll just, everybody whistle.
Is Rebecca on? I wanted to sing Rebecca a song. She was saying something about, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I wanted to do the verse for her.
I'm here.
Is she on? Okay.
I'm here.
Okay. Can I take a minute for that?
Sure.
You'll allow it, huh? Okay. You will notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family and these folks are so dear. When one has a heartache, we all shed a tear and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Joined hands with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
I love that.
I do too.
No,
yes, nice. You've got a good voice.
Oh, well, I have a loud voice. That sometimes that's important. When I was growing up, we didn't have microphones, so it worked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. Thank you, Phyllis.
Oh, thank you for listening. I think it was very nice of Pastor Sam to let me take over and everything.
He might have to start calling it the Phyllis and Rebecca show.
Well, you know, this is my thought about this, and that is you guys make a pretty good team. You might ought to start your show, the Phyllis and Rebecca show.
We could do it.
And what we're learning is there's a lot of gifts inside of a lot of people. And in the day we live, don't let anything hold you back because you might as well enjoy whatever it is that's in your heart to do and do it with all your might as unto the Lord and watch and see what he puts his hand of blessing on because.
I'll make a deal with you. You let us help you, and we'll do our very best to always be here and help you, okay?
Wait now. You're not trying to sidestep duty that the Father's already told you to do, are you?
No, if God told me to go on and do my own thing, I would do whatever he said. But I have attempted a couple of times to do my own thing, and he stopped me.
He did.
So he didn't let it work out. So that's stopping me, right?
Right.
Well, some would say that, yes. most of all, you were one that stepped out and said, well, I'll do something. And that's more than a lot of people would do. And I have always said, there's no shame in taking a step. And if you get out there and say, nah, I'm not supposed to be doing that, then just tell everybody, well, we tried that, but here we go. Let's go do something else. Because thank God there's bold people that are willing to take a step for God. And
well, you know, with God, all things are possible.
If he wants it, he's going to get it.
Well, it's like the Psalm says, with God all things are possible, but they labor in vain who build the house if the Lord's not helping you do it.
That's the truth.
There's no place so frustrating as trying to build something for God and he's not with you. There's just no place like that. And I don't recommend that for anybody. There's plenty of frustration in what you have to do when you know you're in the things of God just because there's an enemy. But you don't want to get out there and say, you know, there's God is not here anywhere. And when you say, hey, Father, and he's like, I've been trying to tell you that that's not where I want you. Then you're like, oh, my goodness, what am I doing out here? Remember, Dr. Barclay tells the story of first time he started trying to pastor or do a work. And finally, one day, the Holy Spirit said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm building this church out here. He said, I never told you to do that. He said, I never felt so happy to be wrong in my whole life. Or some term like that, just because, thank you, Jesus, I don't have to do that anymore. Amen, amen. But anyways, well, here we go. It is time for us to get started. We're going to start with the Pledge of Allegiance. It seems like it's been a really long time since we stood and said the pledge. But I tell you, I saw a program today, and they were talking about some of the things that President Trump got accomplished. And of course, there's people will always argue with you whenever you make that statement. But they made a statement that he installed over 200 judges in the judging system, in the appeals court, in federal judges. You know, not the Supreme Court. He only got two Supreme Court. But over 200 judges were installed under his administration. Now, people forget that that's one of the most valuable forces of a president is establishing judges in the proper position. Because then when the appellate court under the Supreme Court is in agreement with the Supreme Court, my goodness, we can have these. You can have these rulings like we're getting right now. And I don't know. I tried to find more information on it today and didn't. But in Arizona, there is a ruling in the state Supreme Court, I think, that said Arizona parents get to take their tax dollars and spend it for their kids' education wherever they want. Now that is a powerful force right there. Why? That you don't have to go to a public school. You can go to a Christian school and take your tax dollars with you. You know what that means? That means the education process in the public school is going to have to come way up. And I've been saying what that person was saying a long time. I don't believe the government ought to be required and responsible to educate my kids. I don't want them educating my kids. The perverse government that's in there right now, teaching them all this wicked, vile stuff, ain't no way. But it's like my cup. Look at this cup. No giant, no champion. Thank God we got a giant to face, and it's going to make a champion out of every one of us. Help us, Jesus. Here we go. Let's get ourselves started here tonight. Get all this regular stuff we do happening. We welcome everybody that's here with us tonight. We're glad to have you with us. For those of you that might be new, this program is called Establishing Your Faith. It's brought to you by this body of believers called the Community of Faith. I'm Pastor Samuel J. Cottle, the pastor of the Community of Faith. But I'd like to introduce you to our commander, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and his instruction manual for life called the Bible, the greatest book of faith that there has ever been in recorded history. In Jesus' mighty name. Almost there. Here we go. So, if you will join with me, we'll rise, we'll make our pledge of allegiance, and we'll get started tonight. Render your honor, let's make our pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now, we'll have a moment of silence as we remember those who are missing in action, those who paid the last full measure of devotion, those who today bear the scars of combat in their spirit, their soul, or their body. This moment of silence is in honor of every family of the fallen who will stand somewhere today in honor of their loved one's life lived and service rendered. This moment of silence will last for 21 seconds in honor of the 21 rifle volleys fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. This moment of silence begins now. And now, if you will, join me in singing God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above, from the mountain to the prairie, to the ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet. And now, we'll begin with our opening prayer most nights when we come here. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, we, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance for this time of ministry, that believers' lives will be changed forever by the word of God, and glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen and amen. as we minister to the saints around the world according to God's holy living word. God sees our determination to change our world. Say it right out loud with me. God will never be unjust to forget our work and labor of love which we have shown toward his name, and that we have ministered to the saints here and around the world. My life is a seed I am sowing now to bless others. Luke 6:38. I give of my time, talent, and treasure, and I know that what I give will be given to me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, it will be put into my life. For with the same measure that I use to sow, it will be measured back to me in that same measure, in Jesus' mighty, awesome, wonderful name. We fulfill the Great Commission today. Jesus speaks to us saying, all authority has been given unto me. Go in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And I am telling you, I am with you all the way to the end of the age. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless the nations of the world. Word of faith. We bless the believers in these nations: the United States of America, Canada, Mexico, Brazil, South Africa, Niger, Nigeria, Ghana, Kenya, Tunisia, Oman, New Zealand, Australia, Malaysia, Singapore, Philippines, Japan, Vietnam, South Korea, Samoan Islands, Thailand, India, Pakistan, Iran, Iraq, United Kingdom, Ireland, Spain, Belgium, France, Portugal, Germany, Switzerland, Hungary, Finland, Netherlands, Sweden, Estonia, Serbia, Czech Republic, Ukraine, Poland, Russia, China, New Guinea, and then just today, United Arab Emirates. 45 nations in all. We bless you right here, right now, today, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, help everyone. Help every one of these people in these nations who are connected to us to be able to experience the joy of this community of faith and grow and develop in you every single day of their life, in Jesus' mighty name. Now we declare in the international network of prayer and faith, all of us believers are one and the same in God our Father. One body, one spirit. Just as we were called in one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your gift in my life. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. We speak this over the body of Christ that's in our midst tonight. Jesus himself gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. God bless the fivefold ministry with boldness every day, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the fullness of Christ, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. And then the result will be that we will no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, we all grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, but from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part, say it with me, and I'm a valuable part, does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers today. Use me to be a blessing to others in Jesus' mighty name. We join the voices of every great prayer warrior, patriot warrior, passionate patriot of this great nation. And we declare, God bless America. May God bless America today. As we the people, want to say a little more bold, I am we the people. As we the people, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Pause for a minute. Father, the left and the rhinos and the confused and the America haters and the socialists and the communists have worked so hard to confuse this part of our great America as we the people. I declare that the mouths of these wicked, perverse people that have twisted the truth about who Americans really are and our Constitution, we declare, silence their mouths, O Lord. They are lying signs and wonders. I don't have to say their names. I don't know people's heart. I ask you, we ask you together right now that you help us right now. You help us right now in this great United States of America, and that you silence the mouths of every wicked person who is speaking violent, false things about the great United States of America. And we declare that their lips will no longer be able to speak wickedness and vileness right here in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray. Pause for a minute. You may not be used to this type of prayer. I know many churches, they don't have anything like this. But here's the reason why we do that. Because I like for everybody to be able to speak the same prayer that I'm praying. And I've been in a lot of prayer meetings in my lifetime growing up in the church where there's a whole lot of people, they don't have a problem saying amen, but they have no idea what you're talking about. They don't know what they're saying amen. They are sitting in church. That's a good thing. They're saying amen to what's being said. That's a good thing. But the reality is God needs every single one of us. He said where there's two or three of us gathered together in agreement, it shall be done. So when we put the words on the screen and you actually hear yourself saying these words out loud, then you have to make a decision. Wait, do I believe this? Well, most every good American is going to believe what I got up here because it's the truth, it's the word, it's the doctrine of faith, and it's patriotism for this great nation. So there's no reason you wouldn't believe what we have up here. But the idea is the angels run. They hasten to hearken the voice of God's word. Well, God's in heaven and we're on earth and he's given this earth into the hands of man to be in charge of it. And so this is our way of being able to put a prayer out in front of everyone so that you can see the words and we all say the same thing in agreement. Now, if you've never been in the military, all the men who made it through whatever boot camp they went in, there comes a point where you have a forced march, 15, 20, 25 miles. And it's an interesting law of humanity that when you get a whole platoon, a whole company of men marching and saying the same thing while they march, they can march much farther because they're in unison. A strength builds. And that's what Jesus is teaching us about the prayer of agreement. So anyways, we welcome you. Be a part of us. Pray this prayer with us. Father, help us the living to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. I love it. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might. Great God, our King. Forgive us of our sin, Lord. Heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen and amen. and amen. Let's pray for the homeschoolers. Sister Felicia wrote this prayer quite a while ago. Let's you and I pray it again tonight. Father, give strength, power, and understanding to those families who have rejected the indoctrination of the public school system and have embraced homeschooling. We bind all evil forces who try to force them back into the humanistic indoctrinated system in Jesus' mighty name. We tear down the veil of misinformation and confusion to expose the wickedness. We bind it and render it powerless in our school systems in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. And now let's pray the prayer against the isms. It's very obvious that these prayers are working. I thank you for joining with me, and we've seen that this process is going on. You know, I'm not saying something that nobody knows, because it's been all over the news. Even Hillary Clinton herself said the Democrats are in a very bad way to lose very seriously in this election, because they're so out of step with the reality of the rest of America. I didn't quote her, but she said words that were like that. And that's because you believe in the isms, ma'am. You force feminism and racism. You force it. And that's not good. You force secular humanism and atheism. You force socialism on people. And so doing, you make yourself an enemy with God. And now God, he just stands up against you, and there's nothing you can do. And Father, may the eyes of their understanding be flooded with enlightenment in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Here we go. In the name, high above every name, high above every principality, high above every power, might, and dominion. In the name of Jesus, we stand in the blood and righteousness of Jesus, and we bind all of the effects of the isms, atheism, secular humanism, communism, socialism, feminism, male chauvinism, racism, and all other isms. It is impossible for your wickedness to overcome the United States of America's righteousness, which is our strength. Righteousness exalts this nation. God said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. To all the isms, say it right out loud boldly. You have no right or claim or historic authority to our promised land. We know who we are. We're Americans and we're believers. We will not yield our weapons of protection to you. Not our Bibles, not our Constitution, and not our rifles. You may think that we've been driven off, but we, the children of God, have returned to our God and have joined together in agreement to rebuild every wall that seems to be torn down in the realm of the spirit and in the natural. We declare that every weapon you have formed against freedom comes back on you now. Every weapon. Every pit you have dug for freedom, liberty, and the United States of America to fall into, you fall into yourself and are destroyed immediately. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 144:14. Our enemies will not invade our land, and there will be no breach in our walls. These are the walls we are rebuilding, the walls of righteousness. Thank you, Jesus, for your wonderful word. Oh, there it is. The prayer for ending secular humanism's rebellion against God and his divine attributes. Pause for a minute. I'm pretty sure you're going to see me. I want to say hello to everyone on Facebook. Sister Mary Pastorick, Sunday Geyser, welcome, welcome. Good to see you guys here. Sister Dindu, welcome. Good to have you here. Because I see so much more now. Here we go. God our Father, in the name of Jesus, which is high above every name, high above every principality, every power, every might, and every dominion, we stand in the name of Jesus, in the blood and righteousness of Jesus, and we bind the effects of the demonic actions of humanism that have dared to try to take root in our nation. We declare that the ecclesia, God's governing body of authority on the earth, we have repented of our sins. We are seeking your face. We have risen up and we are prophesying and proclaiming boldly the word of God against this rebellion. In Jesus' name, we boldly declare, we will not allow the lies and deception to function hidden from the light of your word any longer. We ask you for transformative change to come into our nation and the ecclesia, the body of Christ. Give us educational leaders, Lord, who will work diligently from within the system to change it, to work alongside of the parents in the training of their children. Give us leaders in government who will promote godly change. Speak it boldly. Uproot, dismantle, and silence those governmental leaders who have willingly accepted this demonic, humanistic agenda. Uproot, dismantle, and silence those in the media that dare to promote the godless curse of humanism. We bind the perverse spiritual forces behind humanism, declaring that by the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit, the humanistic agenda and all of its yokes are destroyed by the word of truth. All of its efforts are dead from the roots up, and the believers will say like the disciples, Master, that tree we cursed is dead. With your authority, might, dominion, and empowerment, we prophesy the end of the humanistic agenda. The voices of the ecclesia will continually become louder than the voices of the humanist abomination. We are the righteous, and we are as bold as the lion of the tribe of Judah in us. We raise our voices louder than the government. We know as we pray, you hear our voice in heaven, and their voice is only heard by man on earth. We know you hear our prayers. We know we have the petition that we ask. We know you are baptizing the body of Christ with power from on high to contend for the faith. and take authority over this force of wickedness. We declare deliverance and salvation comes today to those who have been bound by its deception. We believe that all across this land, a powerful demonstration of your ecclesia will be seen continually. We ask for it. We declare it. We prophesy it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Now, I want to say a couple words here. Love you, Rebecca. God bless you, ma'am. Get some sleep. And next time, take a nap in the afternoon. Love you, Rebecca. Thank you so much for all of your help that you do for us all the time right here. We truly, truly appreciate your help in this ministry. Now, I want to say a few words about what's going on with the Supreme Court cases. And I thought we'd get a bigger pushback on the Second Amendment that we did, but it's all right. The cool thing is that it's through, and they're going to have to change all of their wicked gun laws. And that being the case, how about you and I do something really bold right now that's not in that prayer? You ready? I'm going to speak a political word, all right? But all of you will be able to agree with it, all right? It's not about any one politician. So if you will, say it with me. You don't have to. We declare tonight that all across this nation, we have biblical conservative governors who lead our states to the paths of righteousness as the number one leading politician in their state. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, I didn't give you no names. I've done really good in this past 6 months to not even know the names that are out there. I just don't know. I don't know who to tell you to vote for. Some would tell me that's irresponsible. But this is my deal. Father, I mean, seriously, what we just prayed. Give us very conservative, biblically responsible men or women. It don't matter to me. There's some good women governors in all of our states across the United States of America. And I'll take it one step farther. May every liberal state be flipped so far upside down in this midterm election, people will stand in awe of what you have done, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And we do remember that the Bible says the governments are on your shoulders, Jesus. And so we ask for it, we declare it, we proclaim it in Jesus' mighty name. Why did you say that, Pastor? Well, with this Supreme Court ruling on the Second Amendment, we can flip New York, Illinois, or Illinois for Sister Kathy, California, Maryland, Michigan. There's seven of them that are liberal places. We can flip it right now because the people of America have stood up and said, we do not want your wickedness and your perversion. And now that this whole thing with the abortion is there, the far left have become so far left that they don't even have sensible reasoning about themselves any longer. And I encourage you to pray for your young people. I am amazed who of the young women and even young men. I can't believe the young men who are coming out on the side of militant feminism. I'm just shocked. I'm literally stunned at what I'm seeing. Many of them have been believers. God's delivered them and set them free and transformed them. And they have listened to the feminist doctrine for so long and not challenged it with the word of God. And the father of feminism has come to take his children. And they're bound and they're captive. And in the name of Jesus, may the eyes of their understanding. Some of you saw that video I made last night. That was my way of saying, come on, you got to get free from this. And you know how it is. I get going and I just get preaching. And I only wanted it to last about 7 minutes, and it went for 27 minutes. So God will help me learn how to be concise. I just want to see people know the truth and be set free. I want to look up that verse. It's not in my notes for tonight. This is a very good verse about the day we're living in. All right. There's a verse the Apostle Paul says. It says that they are taken captive. I think it's in Colossians. But my first attempt, isn't that something? 2 Timothy. Yeah, that's one of them. That's not the one I was looking for, but that's a good one. Go with me to 2 Timothy. No, that is the one. All right. Is that what you just did, Holy Spirit? Well, all right. I guess if that's what you just did, then I'm going to just look at it and say, well, glory be to God. And we'll just keep moving in that vein right there. Give me just a second. Now, let's see. Second Timothy 2:1-2. And then we're going to read verses 14 through 26. 1 and 2 and 14 through 26. All right. And this is now my message for this evening, because our message is out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's what we have going on here, is that this is what people have allowed to be in the abundance of their heart. And we can't have that. So let's read this. And we're going to let Paul say what it is that Paul wants to say. Wait a minute. Let me change that. We're going to let Paul say exactly what the Holy Spirit told him to say as he was writing to Timothy. Remember, Timothy's a pastor at Ephesus. Paul is the apostle of the ministry, the prophet, the apostle and prophet of the ministry. Timothy's the young pastor, and he's writing a letter. Here is the young pastor as he's leading the church. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And automatically you can see that in the kingdom of God, there's sons and daughters and fathers and mothers in the kingdom. Paul was not Timothy's biological father. He was his spiritual father. Here we go. Let's keep going. The things that you have heard among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Now, what I want you to see here right now is that in the kingdom is Paul, number one, Timothy, number two, faithful men, number three, and others also, number four. There's four levels of believers that should be established in every church or ministry. Why? Because now the wisdom of the 80-year-old is in the life of the 20-year-old, and that seasoning and that life and that blessing and that strength and that wisdom comes to them by God Almighty. Just a drink of coffee. I'll be right back with you. Now, why are so many young people falling to the isms right now? Because religion did somebody wrong. Somebody spoke the offense all the days of their life. That offense caused the people that are now offended at the second level of offense to be offended. Nothing really happened to them, but it doesn't matter. They're offended because the other person was offended. That's why it's so important that you keep your fence. Let me just say that again. That's why it's so important that you remove all offense from your heart anywhere so that you will not hurt and destroy other people who are offended. Other people who will be pick up your offense and be offended just like you. I want you to look at this. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 12. And let's go to 12:12. It's kind of like double 12 dominoes. If you've never played them, it's a blast. You should try it. Hebrews 12:12, and let's go down here through 16. Hebrews 12:12 through 16. Looking carefully, therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Well, what is he going to, he's getting ready to talk about offense. So he is getting ready to tell you and I, make straight paths for your feet. If you're offended, get over it, because we have got to build up everyone around us. Now watch this. Pursue peace with all people, men, and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Look at 15. Looking carefully, lest anyone should fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Wow, Pastor, what in the world does that mean? That means pay attention to what you're saying and who you're saying it to, so that in your life, you don't in any way say things that are going to be offensive and destructive to those that are around. If you're offended at a church, at a preacher, at a mission, a ministry, make sure that you don't be speaking that stuff. Don't speak it. Why? Because that offense that you had will cause them to be offended. And to many of our young people today, that offense is on the inside of their lives. And because it's down in their subconscious, I never started YouTube. You guys are always welcome to remind me if it's not started. Welcome, YouTube. It's good to have you here. You're just a little bit late. 2 Timothy 2:2. And then Hebrews 12:12. That's where we've been so far tonight. And you can get yourself caught right up. Now, it's so important, verse 15. I'm in Hebrews 12:15. It's so important that you get that offense healed in your life. Why? Because if you don't get that offense healed in your life, then what happens to you is you're offended. And you're going to start taking offense to this group of people that Timothy's talking about right here, that Paul was talking to Timothy about, faithful men and others also. And you'll give your offense and you'll put it in their life, and now they'll be offended. And in so doing, you're going to be held accountable for taking your offense and putting it in their life and causing them to now carry your offense. And you can't do it. You can't do it. But Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. It doesn't matter what anybody did to you. What matters is what you and I did to Jesus. All of a sudden, if we'll quit worrying about what other people did to us, and we'll start seeing what we ourselves have done to Jesus, oh my Lord, we'll forgive everybody because, well, it don't matter what they've done. I myself did sins against Jesus that caused him to have to be crucified. And how dare I hold somebody else's offense against them when I myself should have kept that offense to myself, forgiven them, dealt with all of the personal effects of it, and then been able to walk free of it in Jesus' mighty name. Let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's one of the things that's happening right now with this whole thing about abortion. Now, wow, I did not come here to deal with this tonight, but it is obvious I got somebody listening. So, everybody just sit back, relax, kick up the feet on your recliner, get you a big bottle of water to drink, get your communion elements ready. Let's just deal with it. If you've had an abortion, there's no judgment from any of us. Zero. If you were in a very severe place in your life, and the only option that was brought to you that was going to be effective, that seemed would be effective, was abortion, We don't have any judgment against you. If you've gone to the abortion clinic and just used abortions as birth control, I don't have any judgment to you or against you. Zero. Honestly, I don't. However, I do have some teaching and training that will help you to grow and be established in God to a better degree, because inside of your womb was a baby with a plan from God. And that's not contraceptive. Contraceptive is not against God, you know, depending on what church you belong to, but you know, I've known lots of people that the doctor told the mom quit having babies because she's had too many and her body's wore out and she didn't listen and the lady died. So she might ought to use some contraceptive and not had them last couple of babies and still been alive to raise the rest of her kids. See, God doesn't make us stupid. God makes us wise. And so I'm saying this right now. I'm pausing right now to say this because these words I'm getting ready to read out of Timothy, if we're not careful, might seem a little harsh, but they're not harsh at all. They're warning us of pitfalls and dangers that could cause great destruction in our personal life. So if you've had an abortion, I want to say, by the information that's come from people who've been to heaven, just like the Apostle Paul went to heaven, that your baby is alive there in heaven, waiting for you to get there to raise it. Yeah. Well, Pastor, it was only 3 weeks old. Well, that might be, but it doesn't matter. The moment that egg reached the sperm, there was a life. A new person was created, and God put a spirit inside that baby. And that baby's waiting for you in heaven for you to raise him. Yeah. For you to be the mom. Now, if on the inside of you is great sorrow because of it, or great fear that God hates you and he's now against you, he's not against you at all. It's one of the things that at the beginning of the whole battle with Roe versus Roe v. Wade was that people made anyone with an abortion such an atrocious individual that put a great divide again between the church and the women that actually needed the help. And that shouldn't be. The church should be caring for them to a greater degree than has ever been done. And I personally believe that right now the church wants to take care of women more than they have any idea that is even available for them. And I just encourage you, reach out to a ministry. I really do encourage you. Most of all, I encourage you to right now, I'm going to say a prayer right now for you. And this whole ministry, our community of faith ministry, is going to pray for healing inside of you. And I know, I can tell I've got some younger people from the younger generation with me tonight. And you're checking me out, and you're checking me out with anger. I'm not angry at you. I know the anger that's in your soul, and I'm getting ready to read these verses to help you see why that anger's there, and then help you get rid of the anger so you can turn your zeal into effectiveness. There's nothing wrong with zeal, but zeal that turns to perversion or violence, that's wickedness. And there's no way God can bless that. Not on either side of, let's use the abortion issue. You can't be a wicked, perverse person killing a judge. And you can't be a wicked, perverse, anti-abortion person killing an abortion doctor. Those are both wrong. They're both wrong. So don't be either one of them. Turn your zeal into very efficacious, big word, very effectiveness to bring solution to a problem. Yeah. You know, I've heard a lot of people say, well, if you're gonna say there's no abortion and it's illegal, then you better feed my baby, house my baby, clothe my baby, and educate my baby. Since when does the baby become the responsibility of everyone else instead of the person that gave birth to it? No, we're not going to do that. That's your responsibility. That's your stewardship. You need to take control of your body. But you can't kill another person because you refuse to take control of yourself. Now, pay attention to this. I want you to see this. 2 Timothy 2:14. I can tell now to all of our community of faith people, I can tell I've got some young people listening to me tonight. So I ask you to go into prayer with me right now. Those of you that are at home, pray in the spirit while I'm teaching this tonight. And whether they're live with us right now or they're coming in the future, we got some that's live, I can tell. That my delivery process is with the simplicity of our Lord Jesus, because Jesus is not against you. Jesus is against perversion Jesus is not against you. Jesus doesn't want you to do anything anymore that's going to cause the destruction of the flesh that has been given over to the devil. He doesn't want you to do that. But he also wants you to know you didn't get religion. You got God Almighty at one with you, and he's on the inside of you. And that's pretty wild. I can see you, young lady. I can see you're sitting there crying right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, heal this young lady's heart. I can tell you've had an abortion. I can tell. I can see it in the realm of the spirit. And I declare right now in Jesus' name, just lift your hands. This body of believers, we declare right now in Jesus' name, the healing power of God comes into your life. Say this with me. Take this burden off of my shoulders, Lord. Take this away. I say it. I receive your healing power in my life right now. I receive your healing power in my life right now in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. You ready? I want you to pray this. Jesus, forgive me. I didn't know what else to do. Just say those words. Forgive me. Now, put your hands out and say, I receive all of your love and your mercy. I receive all of your grace and your righteousness. Fill every part of my life with you. I receive your forgiveness. Now I'm going to pray. I bind that moment of trauma that you had to face in all of this, or days of trauma, months of traumas, maybe years of trauma. Trauma, I bind you in Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, bind you over this young lady's life, or these young ladies' lives, and these young men. I declare that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Right here, right now. Today, in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name. Now, I know, I can tell, I can see into the spirit. I don't see your name. I don't see the house you're sitting in or what your furniture looks like, all that other stuff that people say. But I can see in the realm of the spirit that God is washing you right now. I can see it. Just receive it. Just say it. Wash me. Wash me. Make me clean. Make me clean. Make me white as snow. Isaiah chapter 1 says, though your sins may be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they were red like crimson, they shall be as white as wool. If you're willing and obedient, you get to eat the good of the land. Everybody, just in the spirit, wrap your arms around these people tonight. Let's give them an internet hug tonight in God Almighty in the spirit. In the name of Jesus, we give you a great, big, warm, welcoming community of faith hug that says we love you. We want to help you in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, Remember, we're here for you. Naturally, speaking of abortions, I know I'm speaking to young ladies. If you need to tell me something about your life, your story, what's going on, a lot of times people feel like they need to tell somebody. And since we started this ministry here on the internet, there's been quite a few women that have told my wife and I this story. If you email me, I will immediately add my wife into the thread because I don't do things personally with other women. I just don't do that. I don't believe that's wisdom. But I'll add my wife, Leanne, in with you. She has a wonderful, loving, caring heart for people. And we will minister the love and grace of God. We'll never say your name. We'll never tell your story. But we'll make sure that this wonderful word of God that's filled with healing and strength now gets poured in on the inside of you and gives you life and health and strength and victory in all of your life. And if you've met a young man and you would like, you know, there's somebody you're going to marry and you want to have children again, we'll put our faith with that also because we want you to be filled with the blessing of the Lord. That was Hebrews 12:12 through 14, Sunday. Hebrews. Well, that's why you can't find Hebrews over there. That was Hebrews 12:12 through 15. Thank you, Sunday. And then we're going now to 2 Timothy chapter 2, 14 through 26. So Hebrews 12 through 15, and then 2 Timothy 2, 14 through 26. Get your Bible. You might say, Pastor, I don't have a Bible. Well, get you one on here. If you have an Android, get My Sword. If you have an iPhone, get eSword, e-sword.net. Somebody type it in there on the different platforms, e-sword.net. And follow along with us, and you're going to see God heal your heart right now tonight. Because the greatest thing that's got to happen right now since this overturn of Roe v. Wade is that we, the body of Christ, minister life to these people and help them to navigate this situation that they're in. Here we go. Hebrews? No. Very good. Thank you, Sunday. 2 Timothy 2, 14 through 26. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. If we argue about words, it's going to ruin the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman, a worker, a student, who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing or understanding the word of truth. God wants you to become a student of his word, but not chapter and verse, and you didn't read your chapters, and now you're going to hell. And there's nothing in that. If you're a preacher that says that, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Never say that again. I say that. You're making the very thing that's the answer now become a purpose for hell. I was listening to a teaching of Brother Jesse's today about laughter does good like medicine. And he said something to one of the nuns, and she beat the back of his hands with a ruler. Ain't no value in that. God gave you butt cheeks that's got padding, not the back of your hand that don't. I'm preaching better than you're staring at me right now, but it's okay. Keep staring. Look at 16. Shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Some of you in this, I'm talking to the internet-wide group of people right now. Some of you right now in this time of processing the Roe v. Wade being overturned, you're going to have to get rid of some of those people that you used to call your friends, because they're profane, they're idle, they're babblers, and they're filled with ungodliness. They're perverse. They're God haters. That is not a group of people that anyone who believes in God and walks with him. Yes, you don't believe in that group. You don't belong in that group of people with those people for any reason. Paul said, don't even mention the unfruitful works of darkness. Sister Phyllis and I were talking about that the other night after a program, and I'm really working on that. As a pastor, of how to pastor, but not to talk about the unfruitful works of darkness. Because Paul said, don't even mention them. Well, you can't go be in that group of people that is acting that way without mentioning it or putting your stamp of approval on it. And you're a believer. A believer doesn't act that way. A believer is not violent and burns down somebody's house. A believer doesn't go to somebody else's yard and tear up their yard or tear up their life or threaten them. That is not a believer. No one who's doing that is a believer. No. And if there is a believer caught in that crowd, his heart is checking him major big time. When he lays down in his bed at night, he can't sleep because God Almighty's face is right in his face. Because that's not of God. I mean, Dr. Martin Luther King taught everybody how to do it. Do it in peace. Do it in peace. He taught us how. Verse 17. Their message, whose message? The profane and idle babblers. Their message will spread like cancer. And it has. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort. He named two people in his time that were like that, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Don't stop. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. He knows you. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, that's not Reverend Samuel chapter 2 verse 1. That's 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19. Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 11 through 18. 2 Corinthians 6, 11 through 18. That's the whole reference. 2 Corinthians 6, 11 through 18. Write it down. And then I'm going to give you a verse. Let's go to 15. What accord? Two people dwelling together in one accord. What accord has Christ with Belial or Beelzebub? Nothing. What part has a believer with an unbeliever? Nothing. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? It doesn't. You are the temple of the living God, as God has said. I will dwell among them and in them. I will be their God, and they'll be my people. God literally just told you that he is dwelling amongst you and will be in you. God Almighty is in you. Well, Pastor, I've never heard anybody say that before. Well, I feel sorry. I feel sad for you that you've not been around a real Bible scholar, but that's all right. You found one and a whole group of Bible scholars now that look at this book and say, we will know what this book says. And we don't read what's on the page and say that's not true. We read what's on the page and say, well, I guess I'll believe that. I'll just believe that. Keep reading. Verse 17. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Well, what happens if you touch what's unclean? God said, if you come out and don't touch what's unclean, he'll receive you. But if you touch what's unclean, he's not going to receive you. You have been born again. You've been made a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now it's your stewardship to present yourself to God our Father and the Word of God so that you can become a disciple of Christ. Yeah. And those that are teaching you a different doctrine than this, they're not teaching you the holy word of God. I got 25 verses that back up what I'm saying right here, right now, tonight. And it is of absolute importance how you act and what you do in order to have God Almighty lead you as his Father. Keep reading. Do not touch what is clean. I will receive you. I'll be a father to you. You'll be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. Let's go back now to 2 Timothy. We're back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands forever, having this seal. This is the seal on the foundation of God. The Lord knows those who are his. And everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Well, I've been teaching you for 2 years. You're not going to get rid of iniquity all on your own. You're going to have the help of Jesus' righteousness. But be of good cheer. He is willing to give you his righteousness. When you were born again, he did. So now function in that righteousness. Keep going. In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood, clay, some of honor, and some of dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he'll be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust. Paul said that. Flee youthful lust. Pursue righteousness. Pursue faith. Pursue love. Pursue peace. And your pursuit needs to be with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Stewardship to this. Now, I want to go back to the people that are with us tonight. Welcome. We're glad to have you here. As everybody says, click like, hit subscribe, and ring the bell. And then you're notified every time. We don't want nothing from you. You don't even have to tell us your name. I just want the opportunity to disciple you in the Word of God from the heart of a loving pastor. I'll never judge you. I'll stand alongside of you every day of your life until you're totally set free of anything that's got you bound. I'm serious about it. And this whole modern feminism, there are girls and boys that are bound by it. And secular humanism is just wicked. And it's got a grip on our young people. But I reach out into that field that's white for harvest, and I draw you in tonight, and I say, just please come and be a part of this. We'll never judge you. We will never judge you. And we will help you. Let's keep reading. Now look at 23. Here we go. We're getting into the meat of it. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes because they generate strife. Let me say it one more time, just for those in the back, in case they didn't hear. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes because they breed strife. And when you go to the book of James, it says, where you have strife, you have pride and every other evil work. I know I've got that verse underlined, but I am not seeing it. Anyways, it's in the book of James that says, where there is strife, there's pride and every other evil work. And I just encourage you, you don't. You do not want to have that into your life. Somebody finds that verse, kick that reference in there. Strife, confusion, and every other evil work comes from that. That's why in these crowds of people who are standing against, and they're violent against the Supreme Court justice for just saying, wait, this is what the Constitution says. That's why the leaders of that are very perverse, wicked people. Do not follow them, people. Do not follow anybody that tells you to be violent. That's in every book, of every chapter of Proverbs. Do not follow the wicked and the violent. Do not follow them, because you will be held guilty of their sins. Just don't go out there. Don't be a part of it. Pastor, we got to revolt. You in the United States of America, we have every right to revolt, but we also have the right to assemble peacefully. And we can do it wisely. And whether or not you like President Trump got a huge following, and he never went out and beat anybody up ever anywhere. He didn't have thugs beating you up, forcing you to believe. No, that's of the devil. That is wickedness. That's perversion when somebody does that. Let's keep reading. 24. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, must be gentle to all, able and patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition. Now look at what this verse says. If God perhaps, it didn't even say God will. It says, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they know the truth. You may never get back to the truth. God hates. God abhors. God calls it an abomination to sow discord amongst the brethren. What is an abomination? That which God hates with the greatest and grandest of hatred. We don't hate you. But at the same point, we don't want you hated by God. Watch this. Proverbs 6, verses 12 through 19. Proverbs 6, 12 through 19. This is an excellent teaching. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for this. And this is all straight out of the Spirit of God. I don't have a note on this anywhere. This is all coming straight out of heaven. This is what you call hot off the Waffle House grill. I'll have Two Timothys, a Hebrew, and a Proverbs, please. You know how that the Waffle House people do it when you make an order? With a side of Jesus. First Proverbs. These things the Lord hates. You can't take this verse out of your mind. Seven are an abomination to him. A proud look. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. You don't need a scholar to tell you what that means. That's what goes on. Innocent blood. They can't defend themselves. And it's blood. Even if that little baby is just this large, there's still blood in it. Well, I've never seen that. Open the egg of a fertilized chicken egg. There's blood in it. Why? Conception, just like that. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. If you break somebody's window. If you break somebody's car, if you break into somebody's house or tear down their building, you have feet that are swift to running to evil, and God calls you an abomination. And yes, watch for lightning because I'm asking for it. Psalm 144 says, strike forth with your lightning, Lord. A false witness who speaks lies. And sows discord amongst the brethren. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to read 25 and 26 back to back right together. Listen to this. In humility correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, it doesn't even say that he will. So that they may know the truth. And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. You're in a snare. And you have been taken captive by the devil at his will or to do his will. You don't even have the choice to make your own decision when you go and hang out with that group of people. As soon as you get with them, you are now making a decision that is violent, and it comes from the father of lies and of the devil, and God hates it. You got to get out of it. I know tonight very specifically I've been talking to the younger generation. I'm not going to sit there and say, if you don't do exactly what I say, you're going to hell. No, I say, if you do exactly what I say, you're going to make heaven. What are you saying, Pastor? You bow down on your knees tonight and say, Jesus, I see this and I see that, but I want you inside my life. And then I'm going to trust you to help me see what's in this book and come to an answer. Some of you may not be able to trust the church for quite a while. Come here. There's nothing here except loving people and the word of God every single day to set you free. How do we know that you're telling us the truth, Pastor? You don't. But I'm not telling you to believe me blindly. I'm telling you, write down the verses and go check it out. It's like right now tonight. I would encourage and challenge every person that is here tonight. I would encourage you right now tonight to look up the word iniquity in the Bible and read every verse on iniquity that's in the Bible. Well, Pastor, You didn't give us every verse. No, I gave you about four or five. But see, what people have wanted to do is they've wanted to abdicate their own personal responsibility and stewardship of your life. And you can't put your hands up and say, well, my pastor never taught about that. So when I stand for Jesus, it won't matter. Yes, it will matter. And it will matter very deeply. 229 times in the New King James Version, God says the word iniquity. 229 times. It's not confusing what the Bible says about iniquity. What is confusing is what the lying preachers who do not want you to know the truth is saying about it. As I said yesterday in my video, the bottom line is, whether you believe me or not, when you get to heaven, this is the book you'll be judged by. Right here, 66 books. God's going to open this book and judge you and me, all of us. Billy Graham, Barack Obama. Yeah, both of them going to be judged by this book. And they'll both be judged on exactly the same issues all the way through the whole Bible. Billy Graham and any president or king of a nation has a much higher level judgment because they were afforded a position that was very public and very influential. And the Bible says those who rule well, those who give their lives, their whole life, to teach diligently the word of God, those rulers and those teachers are worthy of double honor. But they're also accountable for double judgment. Yeah. Because they were afforded a position to lead people, and many of them have not done well. See, what's sad right now is there's so many people that have been taken captive by the devil at the devil's will because they've been standing on the side of feminism and secular humanism and atheism. And if you, as a believer, haven't caught it yet inside your spirit as a revelation that you cannot hang out with unbelievers and people who live an abomination lifestyle and not live that same lifestyle. People say, well, yeah, but Jesus went to bars with sinners. No, he didn't. The sinners came to where Jesus was. Jesus ate with publicans and sinners, but not in bars. He was at somebody's house. Yeah. But wait a minute. Jesus won many people from the world. Zacchaeus was a man of huge stature in his community. But when he got alongside of Jesus, he was a pygmy until he found God. Why? Because over there in that world, he was wicked. He was perverse. He was vile. He was wrong. And when he came to Jesus, Jesus said, well, I'm going to go home to your house. You can feed me dinner today. I don't know how you're going to feed this whole crowd this foulness, but I know I'm going to your house, and I'm going to have a Mrs. Zacchaeus dinner. You and I have got to look at this and say, God, help me be on the right side. I'm going to tell you right now, my own personal view on abortion, on the gun rights, and any of the things that's before the Supreme Court that they need to rule on. And I believe this court's going to do a lot more. We're speaking unanimous decisions. And I'm still speaking it. And some of them are going to have to be removed because we're going to get unanimous decisions because we're speaking this in faith and assignment by God Almighty. But you can't come up on the side of the enemy, the devil, Satan. You can't come up on his side on these issues. Pastor, you saying the Democrats are of the devil and the Republicans are of the righteousness? No, I'm saying righteousness is righteousness, and sin and iniquity is sin and iniquity. It's not a political party. This isn't about politics. This is about right and wrong. This is about good and evil. This is about darkness and light. This is about vile murder and perversion. Telling a 5-year-old that he can have a sex change. He can make his own decision. But when it comes to carrying his lunch money with him to school, he's got to have mom and dad do it for him. How foolish is that? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. See, many preachers preach this very, very passionately. And as a preacher, we must be careful in our zeal that we don't preach it out of order. Never, ever, 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 ever will I judge someone who's had to have an abortion. Unless, of course, you got pregnant on purpose so you'd have your baby. Just to prove a point. Well, see, that's Baal worship. That's Baal worship. Baal's a false god, a dead piece of wood. Buddha's dead. Muhammad's dead. Hare Krishna is dead. Sun, Yung, Moon is dead. All of them are dead, except Jesus. So why listen to the wisdom of a dead man when you can have the wisdom of a live man right here? And see, Sun, Yung, Moon can't come live inside of you, but Jesus Christ of Nazareth is living inside of you if you've been born again. People have said, Pastor, it's so confusing for me to be able to figure out who's right. Is Buddha right? Is Moon right? Is Hare Krishna right? Or is Jesus right? I'm like, why is it hard for you to receive? This book will come and live in you. There ain't a single one of them that can live in you. They're dead. They're all humans that have died. Dead. Their bones are rotted. They're dead. They did not come back from the dead. That's humanism. Yeah, but they said many great things that were great intelligence, and most of them said on their deathbed, I'm not Jesus. You better chase after him. Go look it up. Yeah, but it just does me so much good. No, it doesn't. It's a deceiving, wicked, foul, demonic spirit. And it's lulling you to sleep from the truth. It doesn't matter. I'm going to say it again, and then I'm going to be done. You don't have to believe this book. You don't have to believe it. If you need a good Bible, take a snapshot right now. Screenshot. Thompson Chain Reference, New King James, Red Letter Edition. And then it's up to you whether or not you get the tabs. Get you the good Bible. Get you a good leather cover on it. It'll pay you some more, you pay some more money for it, but it's worth every minute of it. Whether or not you believe me, it doesn't change the fact. You will be judged by this book on a day in heaven. On that day, every human who ever lived will stand in heaven and be judged openly. There'll be no one left on this earth when that happens, while we're at the judgment seat being judged. Our earth and our heavens will be destroyed by fervent heat. God will destroy it by fire. And then he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And that's where we're going to live for eternity. And we're going to live forever. You don't just die and roll over in a ditch like a dog. It's just a false doctrine. It's just not true. If that was the case, we'd have a funeral for every deer, for every mouse, for every bird. And we don't do that. And we're not going to. No. But we do have funerals. And you go to prison if you murder somebody. There is a difference. Now, I encourage you tonight, I really encourage you to get in and study this word. Some of you might say, Pastor, I don't even know how to be a Christian. Don't worry about being a Christian. That brings a connotation that who knows what it means anymore. Just walk with God every day. Wake up in the morning. Look up at the ceiling when you're laying there in your bed and say, Jesus, help me walk with you throughout this day. Just pray that prayer. Pray it every day. Stop at noon, at lunch, or midnight, whatever your lunch is, and say, I need your help. Thank you for being with me. Pray over your food in your evening meal and say, thank you for this food. I call it blessed and sanctified. And when you lay down in your bed at night to go to sleep and you click that light off just before you fall asleep, look up into that darkness and say, how'd I do today? And he'll begin to talk to you. And the God that created the heaven and the earth will have a personal relationship with you. It's the most wonderful thing. Sister Sunday would be glad to tell you about it. Sister Phyllis would be glad to tell you about it. Mary Masterick, Mary Kathy Angaroni would be glad to tell you about it. Rebecca Smith, my wife Leanne would be glad to tell you. Audrey Van Gessel would be glad to tell you. All of these people, Sister Felicia, Julian Invamalam, Gary West would be glad to tell you. All these people that come here, Ken Brumbaugh, Brother Al, Sister Elisa Craig. See, when you start naming them, there's just so many, you never can name them all. Yeah. Brother Jeremy. Yeah. Dan and Gwen. We'd be glad to tell you about it and help you be discipled. But you got to do the work of coming out from among them and being separate. I know. I just heard you say it. I heard your reasoning in your own heart. Yeah, but something's got to be done. Well, something is being done. Number one, we're removing the scourge of murder from our land. And that wicked god of Baal that demands bloodshed of children is no longer the prevailing force. He's been stripped of his power. Not by a weapon, not by a rifle, by the prayers of the saints, by the word of God that we've spoken for the last 50 years. That's how this battle is won. I've got many videos I would be glad to send you. Got about 10 I'd like to start with. And they're videos that will help you become stable and solid in God. They're just like tonight. Some of them are, this is a pretty heavy subject, so this has been a lot more quiet and fewer comments and that kind of stuff. It's a very open, interactive Bible study, almost like Bible college or university institute. For a long time, I've seen it someday being called the Samuel J. Cottle School of Ministry. But we don't have that all up, and I'm not after putting my name on everything. I see that coming, where you can be established in the things of God and learn how to go into your community and be a blessing to other people. There is a right way and a wrong way to do it. And if you get on the right way, then we get a right thing accomplished in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. Well, I might as well read one more set of verses. We always got to have one more verse, right? John chapter 8. John chapter 8, let's read 28 through 36. It's my one more verse, John 8, 28 through 36. Now, sometimes I actually only have one verse. Who took my pen? John 8, 28. I got to make a note here. Through 36. Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. Father's not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Say it with me. I always do the things that please the Father. I love this. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed in them, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But you got to know it. Can't just happen by it every now and then. Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. You're a slave. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Don't be a slave to sin. Be a child of God. We're going to pray the prayer of salvation here in a few minutes. I encourage you to stick around. Some of those of you that, young ladies that are with us tonight, you've not ever sat and listened to a preacher this long. But we're proud of you. We really are. Get you some bread and water and receive communion with us. If you got grape juice, that's good. We're getting ready to receive the communion elements. We're going to pray the prayer of salvation. And we want you to know who our Lord and Savior Jesus is. Let's pray a closing prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, what a wonderful word that you have spoken to us tonight. Not only do we receive it, but we live by it. And we let it guard us and guide us. Thank you, Father, that you're not out to hurt us, destroy us. 24/7, 365, you're doing everything in your power to stand us up, teach us, train us, educate us, promote us, give us favor and blessing. Thank you. Thank you. We are heirs of God, and we are joint heirs with Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Bless every one of these people that are with us tonight with a whole new revelation of who you are, Jesus. A whole new revelation of who you are. We give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you the praise. Bless all of my brothers and sisters, wherever they may be. Bless all these young people that are with us tonight. And in the future, I declare that tonight the eyes of their understanding are flooded with enlightenment. And they see what all of this is actually. I proclaim it now in Jesus' mighty name. Everyone in agreement, shout a big amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 28, verse 31. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to read the Bible. Not some man's book. I'm going to read right out of the Bible what Jesus told Paul to do. And then, when we get finished reading the word, we're going to pray the prayer of salvation. Everyone who prays that from the depths of their heart truly means it will be right with God. Now with that, I'm going to give you some instruction for about 2 minutes. And then we'll receive the communion of. All of that will take place in about the next 8 to 10 minutes. Here we go. Follow along with me. Verse 23, 1 Corinthians 11, 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Verse 26 or 25. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you do this in remembrance of me." Verse 26, "For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work, until he comes." Verse 28, "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Verse 31, "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. "God's perfect love is perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment." Why? "Because as he is, so are we in this world." Right now, perfect love casts out fear and the torment that goes with it. Ready? "I cast out that fear right now out of your life. No more trauma and no more torment. In Jesus' mighty name." The Apostle Paul said in verse 28, he, or 1 Corinthians 11:28, he said, "Let a man examine himself." When the priest showed up, when a family showed up in the Old Testament for the Day of Atonement, the priest didn't examine them. He knew they had already sinned. The priest examined the sacrifice to see if it was holy and if it was spotless. When you show up in front of Jesus, he already knows you sinned. You don't have no hope without him. And his blood and righteousness is your sacrifice, and it's perfect because he had not sinned. I want you to pray this prayer with me. In a matter of 2 minutes, you'll be right with God. In Jesus' mighty name. Ready, Sister Phyllis? Can you pray with me, or you got visitors? I'm sorry, say it again.
Visitors are called. Yes, I can do whatever you want.
Was that your son?
My grandson.
Your grandson. Handsome looking man he was?
Yes.
Now, pray this prayer with us. I'm going to say it, and Sister Phyllis is going to say it. That way you have the words and you can say it with us. Wherever you are, no matter how many times you've prayed it, just keep praying it. Because faith comes by hearing. You ready? Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Put your hands out and say, I receive you into my life right now.
I receive you into my life, Lord.
All of your love and your mercy.
All of your love and mercy.
All of your grace and your righteousness.
All of your grace and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly
and
language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen and amen.
And amen.
And amen. And amen. And woo! You always got to get a good shout on the end. Now, you might say, wow, Pastor, something's going on inside me. Yeah. See, sin produces darkness and death. And it doesn't matter how good of a person you are. You can't get that sin nature out without the blood of Jesus. You could be the most powerfully strong-willed person in the world and have never said one bad word, never smoked one cigarette, never drank one beer, never sang one bad song, never said one bad joke, never done one thing wrong. But you know what? Until you have Jesus Christ of Nazareth on the inside of your life, you can't beat it. Because there's no human ability that beats sin. Now, Jesus just filled you with all of his grace, mercy, love, and righteousness. I've been born again for 47 years, and I am telling you right now, every time I pray this prayer, I am experiencing the manifest presence of God in my life. I really am. And thank you for being a part of this tonight. You might say, what do I do now? Well, this is what you do now. You come hang out with us. Yeah. And we'll be all of your righteousness and everything you need. You see how that man sounds when he says that? No. What you got to do is get you a Bible. First thing you do, put it on your phone and start reading the Bible every day. And God doesn't club you if you don't read 8 chapters. God, this book is God. And he's going to lead you to some things. And just so you know, there's times in my life God had me stuck on about 3 verses, and I never moved off it for months. You might say, isn't that boring? No, not when God's given you revelation. There's not a boring thing about it. We're going to be a blessing to you. Walk with God every day of your life, just like we've explained in this video tonight. And you'll find him in great power and strength in all of your life, every single day, in Jesus' mighty name. Now, they got my email address and website in there. Shoot me an email and say, hey, Pastor, I prayed the prayer. I'll be glad. Oh, I want to send you a video or two. I'll send you one. When you get done, say, ah, listen to that one. Then shoot me an email and I'll send you 2 more. Because I've got some great, excellent introductory videos that'll help you walk with God on a regular basis. And the cool thing about the day we live is you can go to YouTube of tonight's message and you can just play it again and play it again and play it again and play it again and play it again. And it don't cost you one penny. If it's free, there's no excuse why you don't know the information. I think it's the greatest day in the church. I don't have to have a big cassette room where I got 18 of those duplicators side by side and got somebody in there putting tapes in, sending tapes. What did Brother Kenneth E. Hagin said? He'd sent 50 million tapes around the world in his lifetime. I don't know if you realize how much business that is for UPS, but that was a lot of UPS business right there, 50 million tapes. Why? Because Brother Hagin was going to spread the word of faith all over the whole world, anywhere anybody wanted it. And he did it, and you still find people today that pull out a tape and say, look at here, I got a Kenneth E. Hagin, Mark 11:22 right here. And that's as valuable as a Mickey Mantle playing card. Because Mickey Mantle, all you can do is listen to him. You listen to, or look at him. You listen to Kenneth E. Hagin. He'll change your life because he'll tell you to believe in Almighty. Got to preach, and it's just communion. You ready? Grab your elements. Hold them up. We're going to bless them. And then we'll pray over the bread and receive it. And then pray over the juice and receive it. Ready? Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus,
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement for my peace.
Is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my willpower, and my emotions.
In my mind, my willpower, and my emotions.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying in my body.
Every joint supplying in my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' name.
Let's receive his broken body together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That you endured the cross, despising the shame. You did it all for us. Now we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Pray this with me, by the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation with you, my Father.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin has been placed in remission.
Every sin has been placed in remission.
And my life forever.
In my life forever.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed away.
And behold, all things have become new.
And behold, all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly to the throne room of grace.
I come boldly to the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the word of my testimony.
And the word of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague has to pass over.
Every plague has to pass over.
And cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
By the blood of no more condemnation.
By the blood of Jesus, there's no more condemnation.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be
the glorious church.
The glorious
without
church.
Spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive his bloodshed. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, you know, we always sing a song about the blood. So let's sing Power in the Blood tonight. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. You know, I don't ever think about it, but I did just now. I wonder what it sounds like outside my apartment at this time of night when I sing. Because the breeze is gone. It's real quiet. The window's wide open. I'm sure that others can hear it. How cool is that? To be able to announce across this apartment complex the blood of Jesus.
If they didn't like your singing, they might very well throw up like some rotten eggs from the window in the head, but
nobody's ever said a word.
And don't worry about it.
I don't. It's interesting. I just thought about it. I'm like, the window's open and there's no breeze. I'm kind of sweating like really heavy right now. There's no breeze. But thank God we have the opportunity to be a blessing. Now, for those of you that were with us tonight, and you're of this younger generation, I want to help you solve the problems of your generation. And I would encourage you to send in by email or by the instant messenger questions that I can answer for you about your generation. Now you might say, well, what about everybody else's generation? Well, all these folks' generations, they've had their questions answered for 2 years now. They shouldn't have another question left in their mind. But even though it's the same word of God, what's important is that you learn how to answer the question and then find an application of the word that works for you right here, right now, where you are. And of course, it's going to be from the word of God, but I'm going to tell you something. God spoke to you tonight. He didn't ask you to join a church, become a part of a denomination. He spoke to you. And he wants to help you. And so do we. That's my place on this earth, is to teach you faith. First John chapter 5, verse 4 says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So that's the most important lesson that I can teach you, is how to be established in your faith. And you found the right group of people because we love it. We truly do. And we love people here. And we're glad to have you here along with us in Jesus' mighty name. Sister Phyllis is going to read one more set of verses out of Jude for us. This is our doxology every night. Go ahead, Sister Phyllis, read whenever you're ready.
Jude 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh.
Wow.
Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling,
wow,
and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy.
Yeah.
To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen. And amen. And amen. You know, this is the first time I've seen that, Phyllis.
The first time you've seen what?
That verse says, and on some make a distinction. That means it's important to make a distinction here. Good night, Sunday. We love you. Thank you so much for your help tonight. You did an excellent job. Thank you for being our sister.
You want me to tell you my thoughts on that subject? Is that, you know, hurt people.
Oh, yeah.
Hurt people, yes. And God knows what's in their heart.
Yep.
God knows how much someone has been hurt. And if they lash out and hurt somebody else because they've been hurt, and it wasn't intentionally happened because God knows what was going on, what happened. God knows why they were hurting. We simply forgive. We simply have to forgive because we might very well have hurt somebody and caused them to be in some way upset and hurt someone.
Sure.
And we want God to forgive us. That's it. We have to be forgiving. And God knows who is hurting and why they do things. And He is the one who is ultimately the judge, ultimately the one to forgive, ultimately the one to punish or whatever. And, of course, Jesus loved that person enough to die for them, suffer and die for them. Just as He loved me enough to think of me.
I never forget John Bevere. John Bevere said in that one teaching, he teaches a message on the bait of Satan being offended. And he said, the next time you are ever worried about somebody else's offense against you, just remember what you did to Jesus. Because nobody else's sin is as bad as your sin. And their sin don't matter because it can't keep you out of heaven. But your sin does matter. It can keep you out of heaven. And you and I got to just be filled with love and mercy. The point I was making is, as on some have compassion, making a distinction. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. So that means there's some of these people in these situations that we're going to have to save everybody by compassion. It's compassion that causes us to go after them. But some of them, we got to save them like right out of a fire, like, boy, you're on fire. And it's going to be a little intense when we do it. Not judgmental, not condemning, not belligerent, not mean. But, dude, you're on fire. Let me put you out. Stop, drop, and roll. Let's get the fire off you. Because there's a severe fire in this day. But like Sister Phyllis said, we receive everybody with the love of God and arms wide open. What do we got? What do we have to say to anybody? Every one of us, we're sinners. You can't judge anybody else. You're a sinner. If God assigns you as one of His voices to speak, well, then you got to speak it. And you can't be afraid to speak. You got to speak boldly, like Ahab. You're going to die. And we're going to...
Well, you know me. I'm always running my mouth.
Well, but... That's why you and I, each of us personally, got to learn that caution so that certainly we speak what God speaks, but we love people and we help them find God. As much as I hate the work of President Biden and his whole staff, I still love him and want him to go to heaven. Who you want to go to hell? That's a bad place in your life. Because if you wish somebody else there, then our Father's going to say, well, what about this sin in your life? Is that one bad enough to take you to hell? Well, yeah, but I don't do mine anymore. He does. What are you being? You're being a judgmental person. And I spoke the Clinton's name tonight. I spoke it right out loud. Why? They're perverse. They murder people. That's wickedness. And she herself said their party's going to lose because of the perversity of this of their organization. Out of her own mouth, she said it in the last couple of days. Turn from your wicked ways. Turn from your wicked ways. before you spend eternity in hell. I don't get it. But anyways, now I've gone to preaching again.
Four more hours.
Brother Roger Oxley, we're missing you. Where are you, brother? Ready? Everybody hold your hands out and say it with me. Father, right now tonight.
Father, right now tonight.
I sold my time, talent, and treasure.
I sow my time, talent, and treasure.
And all of my faith.
And all of my faith.
During this program.
During this program.
I receive the hundredfold return.
I receive the hundredfold return.
For my faithful service here tonight.
For my faithful service here tonight.
So that we can use it to preach the gospel.
So that we can use it to preach the gospel.
Right here in this day.
Right here in this day
in Jesus,
this world.
Mighty name.
For Jesus. Mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. Amen. Pastor, what's it going to be? What's my hundredfold going to be? I don't know. I just know that's what Jesus said to his followers. And we're his followers. We might as well get our hands out and say, all right. Because I'm telling you right now, I want to preach more gospel. I do. And I want to see us out there, right out there on the cutting edge of this thing on a daily basis. And I need about 3 good employees to help me get this work all done. But you got to pay folk. And I want to pay folk. And so bring us that hundredfold return, Lord. We will hire some folks and do the work of the ministry just like everybody else does around the world. In Jesus' mighty name. All right. That's all we got. Not really. We got a lot more, but that's all we're going to say.
See you later.
Till we see you tomorrow morning, tomorrow at noon Eastern, 11 Central, for rebuilding walls of righteousness as we pray for the body of Christ around the world. And
Sounds good.
And until then, remember this. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you.
And God loves you.
And Jesus.
And Jesus is Lord.
Lord of it all. See you soon.
See you soon.
Bless you, Brother Dan, Sister Gwen. See you soon.
Good night, you guys.